we're back with the news, the sin news, the review of Botswana 2017, the best World's Strongest Man yet. We look back on a cracking week in Africa, from the beast to Hapthor's beef, and hear from the World's Strongest Man himself. Plus, after what was a cracking World's Strongest Man competition, we've got one of our own. It's all coming up in the World's Strongest Man 2017 Review Podcast, the Year of the Beast.
Eddie the Beast Hall, Britain's Eddie the Beast Hall is the World's Strongest Man, the first Brit in 24 years to manage it.
Wow. I was excited before after hearing that. Colin Bryce, I'm so pumped up.
Me too.
And it's delightful to see you. Happy New Year, Colin.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you too.
Well, thank you very much. I know that a lot of listeners will be thinking about what to do with 2018. Mm. Obviously, go and check out a lot of Giants Live. We'll be talking about where they can do that, because I think you've already got some dates in the diary, have you not?
I do, yes. Yeah, a few biggies coming up this year. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Sheffield in January, but we'll talk more later maybe.
Okay. Of course, before we do any of that, let's look back. Let's really wallow in an event that we've been waiting for a while. Eddie Hall on top of the podium. As I mentioned, he's going to be dropping by again later on. Fascinating appearance in our preview show. Mm. Looking forward to hearing what he's got to say about this triumph that he had dedicated his life to, committed so much of his existence towards. And it came through, and of course, not without controversy, as I think everyone's seen. You can maybe bring us up to speed on where we are now, where the fallout is with all of that. Is it hyperbole that me there in the opener saying that it was the best yet?
I think it was, actually. I mean, you had all of the ingredients. You had two men with four WSM titles coming in, the greatest in history. The unspoken of greatest in history in Brian Shaw. The greatest man to have never won it in Hapthor Bjornsson. And then this bloke from Stoke, who just happened to have the most incredible static power, smashing records and that no one thought would ever be done. So, but he was still an outsider. Mm. So it was an extraordinary battle. Extraordinary.
Yeah, certainly if you'd said a couple of years ago, that man's going to win World's Strongest Man, it would have been a hard one to swallow. Hey, by the way, if you want to get in touch, many thanks to all the people who have been in contact. TheWorldStrongestMan.com is the website. You can also get us on the WSM Facebook page, on Twitter, at World Strongest, and Instagram, at The World Strongest Man. So there's a variety of addresses for you there. One of the other great things about 2017's competition was the location. Once again, Botswana. Just proving such an atmospheric locale. The locations were pretty amazing. The locals,
just insane, weren't they? I mean, it's great when you go somewhere and, you know, it reminds me of my first year in Mauritius in '96, and we literally had to fill two busloads of locals. At $1 a day.
What, to stand in the background?
Have you ever watched that footage of Magnus Vare pulling a big truck full of sugar cane? And actually, it's a very skinny young me holding his rope on the side. And then it just didn't work because they just stared without any clapping. It was the most weird.
Kind of eerie.
It was kind of eerie.
Children of the Corn type thing.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
When the heats were over, Colin, we got a couple of days off to go and get some scenic shots, yeah, some beauty shots.
And you went off and shot one of the most beautiful videos I've ever seen, James.
Oh,
you got some skills.
Meerkats and things.
Meerkats
and salt pans.
Are you kidding me?
No, but you know what?
Anyway,
you know Prince Harry and Meghan Markle?
Oh, yeah?
The place where we were staying in the salt pans, that's where he took her after they announced their engagement.
Is that right?
That's how special that spot was.
Gosh.
Which was the bit with the meerkats, did you see, where they're climbing on Magnus and
Maggie's
myself?
Head, yeah.
Yeah. Which is an amazing area. If you are in Botswana and, you know, do drop by the salt pans.
I'm not being paid by the tourist board here, yeah, but I have to say, been lucky enough to have travelled a lot of Africa. Hmm. I found Botswana to be the friendliest and most sort of diverse and interesting as well.
Right.
But very safe. It was just a great place.
Well,
you
say that, but we had a near miss with a lion in our camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought you caught it all on tape.
No, it was there was a because the lions they actually roam around. This is the same camp where Harry and Meghan stay, and the lions actually roam around at night. I would say it was a near miss because it was nearly a lion. I think it was actually a porcupine or something. But I think it illustrated the very real dangers to those who aren't paying attention because they roam around early morning. You're not allowed to walk around.
Well, I mean, it was just even the simplest little things like a walk out of the hotel. You can't do because there's some sort of warthog thing which is
like where is this in Gaborone?
But it's like eighth. Well, okay, not in Gaborone, but when you're outside, it's like the eighth most dangerous animal.
The warthog,
or whatever. Yeah, no, those things will chew through your arm like butter, and then you walk a little bit further or whatever, and then you've got some kind of what's the old big old monkey thing? Baboons, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the big teeth. Those things will tear you apart. And you got the guys with all the little, guns around the hotels. You know, not actually guns, but what do they hit them with? Paintballs, I think it is.
I don't know.
Just
I'm kind of found
away.
This out now and not before we went.
You went on the morning runs. You know, you were warned, weren't you?
We did that. Yeah. Anyway, listen, we're here to talk about World's Strongest Man 2017.
Yes.
Let's have a quick word on the heat, because they didn't pan out exactly the way we thought in a lot of cases. We'd had the previous year a whole bunch of new people coming through. This year we had them back and a lot of the really big names returning as well. Mm-hmm. And we also had one new event, Last Man Standing.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Now, that was very much touch and go how that was going to work, if it was going to work. There was a lot of tension about that, but it was a wonderful success.
I'm glad you say that. I'm glad you say that.
Why? Did you not think it was?
No, I thought it was a magnificent success, actually. And, of course, I was... one of a team of people that kind of cooked the idea up. So
how much did you have to convince the athletes about it?
Not very much, actually. If I'm brutally honest, it works a bit like this. Those who've won the most titles tend to have the biggest voice when changes start to kick in. They're often the biggest as well. And so it has to have a good reason to come in. And, of course, if you were really, really good... then you often didn't do the last event anyway. You would go into the stones and, it was just it was a waste of time. You were 8, 10, 12 points ahead. Why try and win the stones for 6 points, risk tearing your bicep? We tried things like King of the Stones, put a few shillings on it, but nothing was enough to really get guys to risk injury going into the final. So this actually put guys like Brian Shaw ended up winning his group, Hapthor Bjornsson, Eddie Hall, all these big names won their group and therefore went through after event five.
Right.
So event six was not the also-rans because...
It was like a playoff.
It was the playoffs, thank you very much. Yeah, spot on.
And the crowd completely got into it. It was wonderful to watch. Often it was the person who didn't actually win it who became the biggest success with the crowds, because you'll have seen Luke Stoltman, for example, pulling off an incredible run of lifts.
Yes.
Not making it through. Belshack as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he had Mad Dog Lissus to go against in the end, so I mean, he was always going to be struggling. But
hey, we'll be hearing from the man you call Mad Dog
a
little bit later on in the show.
Marty Delicious, yep.
Yeah. There you go. Just one other thing before we talk specifically about the heat. One of your responsibilities out on the road with the World's Strongest Man is basically corralling this herd of strongman cats, which to me looks like the toughest job out there, getting Brian and Eddie and Hapthor to turn up and do what you say they need to do. And it doesn't always work out. We'll hear about a pretty... now infamous incident of that in the course of today's podcast. But by and large, for such an intimidating group of men, how easy is it to get... How willing are they to go along with whatever you're suggesting?
Actually, incredibly willing, because ultimately they are there to compete. What you tend to get is gamesmanship, whereby the tricky thing is, of course, and this is every year... a decathlon has the same 10 events. World's Strongest Man does not have the same events. So, of course, there's always huge amounts of pressure from different parties. Oh, you're favouring him. Oh, he's being favoured. In truth, and I think, this is where it came to a bit of a head this year, It is, in fact, there's a whole slew of people that help pick the events. Mm. And more often than not, it comes down to what kind of terrain we have and what equipment we have out there. Right. There's no great mastermind plan for somebody. Not at all, actually. Mm. In fact, as referee, I'm pretty far removed from picking it. When it comes to the sporting aspect, there's a whole party. Dare I say a high council, James? Maybe one day you'll be invited on.
I mean, that would be amazing. I do have one or two events. I've got one. It's called Rock, Paper, Scissors, but with real rocks and real scissors.
Hey, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Anyway, all right. Well, listen, why don't we stop for a second and then have a think back about the heats? Right, Colin, heat one. A big year, as it turned out, for British strongman, but it didn't get off to the best start, with both Felix and Tom Stoltman pulling out injured.
Yeah, two injuries from two big names. Mark Felix, of course, the super experienced 50-something, the evergreen. But he's had an operation, he's back, he's fit, and will be gunning for next year. And then, of course, Tom Stoltman, the younger brother by quite a few years, just in his early 20s, big Tom at 6'8", 6'9", whatever he is. Something happened in the fingers. He tore something deep in his shoulder. That too needed an operation, but both are back, might I add, for January 27th, Sheffield Arena, or ooh, Fly DSA Arena, as it's now known.
The Fly DSA Arena?
Yes, indeed, for the British Open, Britain's Strongest Man.
Well, that'll be amazing. Tom, I mean, in terms of physique, he's got everything he needs and more to be an absolute superstar at this.
Oh, goodness, yeah. He's just.
How many years before he really hits kind of peak, do you think?
His deadlift is there already. He's pulling 400 kilos. But, I mean, nowadays you've got to pull 440, 460. So I think he needs to stick another 20 kilos of muscle on. And that's going to take 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
Meantime, when we're looking at coming men, Belshak, Matas Belshak, who's been really turning heads since Malaysia. And he impressed here, beating Brian Shaw in the log lift.
He's phenomenal. Mm. I mean, honestly, if you put a jacket on Matas Belshak, he just looks like a big lump from down the road. He doesn't look like this superstar athlete. And that's what he has, incredible athleticism. I mean, earlier in the year, Europe's Strongest Man, he pushed Eddie to a world record in the Max Axel. I mean, that shocked everybody again. So it probably wasn't too big a shock, actually, to him that he beat Brian Shaw in an overhead event.
And then we saw his heroic, I mean, ultimately doomed, but his heroic bid for a qualifying spot in the grand finals in the first edition of Last Man Standing, when he just went on and on and on. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he was unlucky to have battled his way through to the final head-to-head with JF Caron, who was sitting in second. But, you know, if anyone's going to have a chance at beating JF Caron, it was Belshak. But Caron's so fit as well, and they just took lumps out of each other's for goodness knows how many reps.
It was amazing to watch and pretty exciting to listen to.
How much longer can this go on? I mean that in a good way.
Well, I'll tell you what, back in the day, this is heavier than the heaviest McGlashan stone when it was first used by the likes of John Paul and Kazmaier. Look at this. It must be some kind of a record.
Another one.
And the doctor might have to stop this one. This is brutal.
Everyone returns it, and that's that. Well, what an incredible and brave performance from Belshak.
Danny Wallace there alongside you, Colin, on an epic performance from Matas Belshak. Ultimately, not enough to get him into the final. JF Caron going through alongside Brian Shaw. Of course, the last man standing, a huge battle. Again, in the second heat, this time between Martin Zlissis and Luke Stoltman, the heat had already seen Hapsal cruise through, really looking good for the final. But Luke, do we feel that maybe he could have done more to secure what turned out to be a crucial second spot and be the last man entering into the last man standing event, if he'd done better maybe on the bullion toss, which Lissis, to be fair, had a nightmare on the previous year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about Luke Stoltman. I believe he has all the tools to be one of the absolute best, But he's hampered with two things. Number one, of course, is he works in the oil rigs half the year. I mean, how can you train properly out in the oil rigs? I'm sure he does a very serious job out there and 12 hours a day. But the other, you know, the other thing is he's an ever-smiling fella. I'm not quite sure he has the killer instinct that some of the others have, you know. Sometimes you think he's just enjoying being there, which is a wonderful thing.
Mm. Having said that, still an incredible achievement by Luke. I mean, anyone getting to the finals, of course, total respect. And speaking of respect, so much between the two men straight after that epic battle on the stones when they were talking to Sarah Jane Crawford.
My aim this year was to come here and do better than last year. And, you know, to be battling out with this guy for a place in the final, that's something that I want to take with me, man. He's got a massive future. He's going to be our world's strongest man for sure.
I'm going to throw like this guy. He's going to be. Next year, I'll be a good thrower like Saltman here.
Was he just so great to compete with?
It's always fantastic to compete with him. Happy to have him in my group again.
Congratulations, you're in the grand final. How do you feel?
Oh, so elated. I love it. Pure ecstasy.
Well, he went on to have a pretty excellent finals, as it turned out. And it'd be interesting to hear how he feels about all that now and his prospects for the future. The good news about that is that, Colin, you've already spoken to him. So let's hear now from the very great Martins Lissis, beginning with how much he enjoyed his time in Botswana.
Oh, man, it's a couple of the best weeks of my life.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, you had a good battle in the heats. Obviously, there was one bogeyman that was always going to be hard to beat. And with the new format of the stones, were you a little worried at all about getting through?
I basically slept 3 hours every single night I was there, just because I was in sweats, just shivering, like dreading the possibility of not making it to the finals. So every single event, I just like focused in as like a madman, because I absolutely couldn't allow anything to stop me from getting to finals.
Yeah. I don't see, you know, I'm not a huge believer in these kind of events. I guess it depends who you are. Bringing family members, a winner or not. You look at someone like Eddie the Beast, turns up with nobody this year except his physio. I can see Brian Shaw is sort of shedding more and more people all the time, you know. Just a coach turns up for the second half, you know. Is there something in that?
I'm starting to think there is. Because I love having my family there, absolutely. But when it's a contest that lasts the span of 2 weeks, and eventually, like for a one day show, I think it'd be fine. But for a 2 week show, it's rough.
Yeah. So making it through to the final, obviously you weren't one of the top five guys. You know, the guys who won their heats. Did that bother you at all? Was there anything psychological? Obviously with the damaged sternum, thinking, geez, I'm outweighed by most of these guys. I'm one of the shortest. I'm slightly injured. This is not going to be my year.
In my mind, I would have to beat what I did last year.
Yeah. Well, you did that, didn't you? I mean, it was
absolutely. Jumped up two spaces, ended up fourth place.
I mean, is it getting close to fulfilling a dream, or is WSM the only way you're gonna take your foot off the gas?
I gotta win.
Yeah?
Yeah, I gotta win. It doesn't stop until I win.
And when do you see yourself winning?
This year or the next.
Okay. I guess you're in good shape now then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can count on that.
If I was going to ask you what Martins Lissis has over the others, what is it? What's your secret weapon?
I've been lifting for a long time. Since I was 9 years old, I believe on the field I can use pound for pound, I'm the strongest guy out there. I can use my body in much more efficient ways than the other athletes can. Brute, when it comes down to brute strength, yeah, the guys ahead of me are stronger.
Yeah.
But I do believe in terms of, as far as technique goes, as far as really utilizing my strength to the fullest, I am the best out there.
Yeah, sort of a touch of the 2017 and onwards Mariusz Pudzianowski. I mean, that guy just used every ounce of his body whenever I...
No, I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a fan. I love it.
Okay, fair enough. And next year, I mean, can you give us a prediction? Any New Year's prediction for next year?
Definitely podium.
Podium for Lissis. D. Lissis.
Yeah. And we'll see how my strength ramps up, because podium is kind of just a baseline.
Yeah.
Got to win it, Colin.
You do. That deadlift, I think you shocked yourself in the final. Talk us through the deadlift in the final of WSM this year.
Well, before that, it was the plane pull. And after the plane pull, like all these other athletes, they allow themselves to collapse and get oxygen and recover. I thought I'd be a little bit of a crowd pleaser. Right after the plane pull ended, I just threw down my harness, went up to the crowd, started yelling, throwing up my fists. Then when I went back to the tent, I just about passed out. That was completely a show. I was dying the moment that thing finished. But I wanted to walk off like a badass. My body started cramping up from toe to fingers to neck. Everything was cramping up. My face turned blue. I got nauseous. We ended up going back to the hotel room where I vomited and passed out. I just straight up immediately passed out after puking. And I thought it was just like, how the hell am I going to get back up and do a deadlift?
Yeah.
So my lady at the time back, she just started shoving all sorts of sweets and Gatorade in me. And I woke up. Again, I had one of those moments where something went off in my head. And I thought, I don't care if my body falls apart. I'm pulling whatever the hell's in front of me all the way up. I don't care how what it feels like. It's going up.
And I mean, remind us, how far above your personal best did you actually pull that day?
Well, my best in training was 930 pounds. Mm-hmm. And this in the contest was 970. So that's about 20, just a little, right around 20 kilos less in training.
But you had a good go at over 1,000 pounds, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I pulled that right to my knees. I think on a fresh day, without having done the plane before, I would have pulled that.
So I guess we must draw this near to an end. And you know, what was your final memories from Botswana then? What will you take away from it?
What were my memories? Oh man, just seeing the face of my mom and back, and that at the moment I lifted that fifth stone up. The stones are always my favorite. Absolute favorite event. I think they really represent, that's a signature event of strongman. So that at that moment that I put that last stone up, I knew it was going to be one of the best times. And in my head, I knew that I placed better than the previous year.
What do you think, Colin? Martin says he's not going to stop until he takes the big one. Is that realistic?
100%. Yeah. No, there's something about this is Mad Dog Martin's Lissers. That's my own nickname. But funnily enough, everybody joked if you who was the worst person to meet in that stone lifting game at the end of the heat? Everybody agreed, Lissers.
Mm.
It wouldn't be Hap Thor, it wouldn't be Brian. He would never give up. He would never give up. He's just one of those guys. So yeah. Mm. He's got the determination.
And he's already really turned around his toss, if you'll excuse the expression.
Yes, he's a remarkably good tosser now.
Indeed, indeed. On that note, let's move on to Heat 3. Tell me all about Heat 3, Colin. We have the giants here, Janashir, Shivliakov. Nice to see him back. Big Lawrence Charlet. And, of course, Johan Els, who came unstuck in the deadlift. What happened there?
Yeah, Johan. I mean, if you've seen him compete, you'll know what we mean by he is a man who will not give up and will squeeze probably more than his body's worth out of his body. He managed to. I can't remember if it was a second or third rep. He stood up with it. I was refereeing at the time, and the funny thing was, and laugh now because he wasn't injured. Hmm. Is he? Managed to stand up with it, but would not let it go as he was falling backwards until I gave him a down signal. So he actually started to fall and locked out with it. So I gave him the down, and literally he came tumbling down off the platform.
Carrying how much?
Oh, gosh, 350 kilograms. I mean, we're talking 770-something pounds.
Well, we chuckle now. At the time, it seemed pretty dramatic.
Look at the sweat and the effort, but he won't give up.
Down!
Oh.
Are you okay? Doctors, you okay? Guys, in!
Well, this isn't good.
I just started to black out a little bit there, I believe. And hopefully he's okay.
I love your bedside manner there, Colin. Talk to us. Are you okay?
Medics.
He allowed his weight just to get too far back.
One of the things in deadlifting, is drop your bum backwards and allow your body weight to help you pull it. Problem is, he was on a kind of slightly, not rickety plinth. I mean, the whole plinth was solid for everybody else, but he really went for it, threw his body right back and just gambled. He just rolled the dice. He was right on the limit, but he got the rep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there we go.
Didn't make it through, of course, Janasha and Charlie taking their place and Eddie Hall, of course, going through from the following day's action, Heat 4. Did I mention Eddie's going to be dropping by a little bit later on? He's going to come by, see his friends, tell us a little bit more of... The Beast Law.
I have a little hint of Beast.
Mm. And again, in Last Man Standing, we had an epic battle between Kieliskoski and Gunnarsson. Almost tears at the end of that one.
Well, Kieliskoski, for all of his magnificence in many different events, and he is perfectly built to be a stone lifter.
Mm.
He just isn't that great a stone lifter. That's
is it the back
thing.
Issues that he's had?
I think it is, yeah. So perhaps he'll accelerate away like he has done on other events now. He's got it fixed. He just basically had one leg a centimetre and a half shorter than the other, and he never realised. So some clever doctor figured that out, and, with a few insoles, he's all right now.
Bingo. So he went through, and the other heat, of course, which in terms of narrative set up in a really interesting fashion. It was kind of the three R's. You had Big Z returning, Nick Best retiring, and a certain Terry Hollands hunting redemption.
Oh, yeah, what you did there.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not sure that Nick Best, after his performance here, is going to retire. I hope we're going to see him back.
Oh, he's got no place else to go.
Let's be honest. He did brilliant. That carry, the elephant carry. It was astonishing, wasn't he?
Oh, he's the best in the world at that. Why? Because Nick Best is bonkers. It's as simple as that. He will absolutely kill himself to win something like that.
All right, here's Nick Best with the best elephant carry.
He's got so much willpower, determination and ability to take pain, Nick Best. And I tell you what, he's got his hands locked that a lot of the others haven't, like Zabiscus. And the longer he can keep them locked and the quicker he can move his feet, he could do something pretty special here.
He really could. Already beaten the Iranian.
Oh, Z's gone down as well. Oh, Best, he's done some mental maths. He thinks he's gone through to the grand final. I'm 2 points in it. Zabiscus is in third place. He has. Hollands looks stunned.
He's done it. So Nick Best goes through to the grand final. Zabiscus places third, and Terry Hollands must be kicking himself.
Yeah, wow. I have to say, Nick Best, he's a very optimistic guy. He's quite extrovert. He's one of the guys who'll come up and talk to you the whole time. And before that event, he was, can I say, in our ear a lot, saying, I'm going to do well. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do well. Watch me in this event. And it was great because he's come close and not quite done it on so many occasions over the years. To see him get back into the finals with such a performance, fantastic. Less good was Terry Hollands and his face after that event. I think he knew he'd made a real miscalculation because he thought he could conserve his energy in this event and it didn't turn out that way.
What we figured out having watched The Last Man Standing Stones is that first time doing it, every single man in second place ended up going through.
Hmm.
And by the time Terry's heat came round, I think he knew, that the hatchet was hanging because he wasn't the man in second. Big Z was. Having to take on Big Z fresh and you're already fatigued, it was always going to be a big call. Big Z was just sitting there relaxed in the background watching Pyman and Terry, tennis backwards and forwards, And the longer it went on, the bigger Z's smile was, So if this continues as an event, it's going to take a man with some real guts and incredible fitness to beat the man in second.
Mm. Well, it was a really busy year for Zadrunas. Be interesting to hear what his take on it all is now. I tell you what, why don't we just dial up the four-time world's strongest man? Colin, have you got his digits?
I don't, but you do, don't you?
Of course. On the speed dial. All right. No way I wouldn't have a man who's given us so many great memories over the years.
Well, Zabiscus has got three.
Bujanovski has got free. Now Zabikas goes ahead. This last one for the title, surely. He is the world's strongest man. Wow, Bujanovski has lost his title. Now, where has Zabikas finished? I think he might have finished in third place, and that means that Brian Shaw has missed out by the narrowest of margins. Zabikas, if we didn't know it already, goes down as one of the all-time greats. He has retained the title. He won so brilliantly last year. He's done it again in 2010.
But here comes Zabikas, and he beats Brian Shaw second in the stones, and that is enough to win the contest outright. He is the world's strongest man, and Shaw is shell-shocked.
Big C, he's done it again. At 38, he's still got it. Four times a champion, one of the greatest in history.
Well, let's see what we got. Zydrunas, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent.
Hey, Big Z.
Thanks for joining us, Big Z. Of course, 2017 saw you Big Z, but then also kind of Little Z when we saw you earlier on in the year, and then you got to be Big Z again. What was the thinking behind the weight loss and then the weight gain again?
I had 2 years ago a really bad injury in my neck, and I lost a lot of muscles in my left part of body, and then I need to rebuild my muscles. I train a lot of trainings like bodybuilding, so I gained some muscles. I lost a lot of fat, and I got really skinny.
Yeah.
But it was good, because after when I gain weight and come back for a Big Z again, I feel much better, and now I am looking forward for next year.
How much did that affect that kind of the drop of weight and the problems with the neck muscles? How much did that affect you in the final? Would you say that you were in at 100% in the finals in Botswana?
Oh, no. In Botswana, I was just 3 months after injury. I got injured again before Botswana, and it cost me a lot of strength in my left arm, my left shoulder especially, and I was... it was like maybe 50% of my strength.
Wow.
Zydrunas, did you ever think you weren't going to get it back? Because obviously when you start to have problems with your spine, it can be very worrying, can't it?
Yes, it was really, really strange injury, because you want to flex your muscles, but they are not flexed. And it was really bad feeling when you... You know that it's lightweight, you want to lift, but you can't lift. And it's a lot of, not just about your body, but it's a lot of about your mind, because then you lost you lost belief yourself, and it's really hard then.
How important was your performance in the World Tour Finals in Manchester then, Z?
In Manchester, it was first competition after my two injuries. And it was almost when I feel that I lifting weights like before. So not just when you lift, you feel, oh, it is really heavy, but you just lift and it feels much better. And I still training now. I am feel good, and I know that the worst time is already done, and now. It is just I need to build the next 10% of my strength, and I will be 100% again.
I mean, Zydrunas, do you really think, with all the different damage and injuries, and no one in the world has ever done as many strength competitions as you, certainly no one's done them at as high a level, more world records, more titles, except one, that fifth title at World's Strongest Man. Is that what you're going to come back for next year?
Yes, I come back for World Strongest Man, and also Europe's Strongest Man is two main competition for me, because I feel that I can be strong again. much stronger than in Manchester, and it has motivated me.
Wow. The age of Z is not over, Colin.
Well, you know, Zydrunas, is your deal with the devil still going?
I need to resign every year, but deal with God.
Deals with God.
All right. Z, of your four World's Strongest Man titles, which one was your favorite? Is there one in particular?
First one, for sure, it's my favorite because it's first. First is always best, and also it was because of big time after not competing in World's Strongest Man.
Mm.
Since 2004, I not competed 4 years, and it was comeback, and it was good competition against Marius, and it was really good competition.
Can I just say, Zydrunas, how did you rate this year's World's Strongest Man final? Obviously, you weren't quite at your best, but with Big Brian, Big Thor, and indeed Big Eddie, all being firing on all cylinders, was it enjoyable to watch? Did you think it was one of the best finishes? And do you think the right man won?
I think it was one of the greatest finals because every year it is getting better and better, and it was really good lineup in the final and good events, really good events for strength. It's deadlift and squat, two very important competition. Everybody who go to gym know that it's main exercises. And always when you are winner, then everybody say best man won. I think Eddie was really good for this year. And also he had maybe some luck, but it is always when you want to win against strongest in the world, you need not be only the strong, but also have some luck.
Mm. It was a great finale. The only pity, I mean, certainly from my point of view, was the bitterness afterwards from Hapthor. I mean, it must be so disappointing to put in the work that he's done year after year. Can you share his frustration, Z? Hapthor's his reaction to losing out on the title again, or do you think that he was wrong?
To win, you need to learn, and to lose, you need to learn. I think Hapthor lose a lot of times in World's Strongest Man. He must to know how to lose. I also lose many times. I have 4 first places in World's Strongest Man and 6 second places. And I'm really think that I at least 3 times from the 6 times when I was second, I was much better than first place. But that's life. Somebody else won.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, Zydrunas, a diplomat as well, of course, and he really is a diplomat. He's the mayor of which town are you mayor of, Z? Or have you retired from that?
I am city council member of Vilnius capital.
Uh-huh. All right. Congratulations. Well, Z, you've been a good loser. You're an even greater winner. We really look forward to seeing you back out there in the Europes and, of course, the Worlds later on in 2018.
The greatest of all time, Big Z. Thank you for coming, Big Z.
Thank you.
Now, once again this year, we're running a competition, Colin. The prize...
Go on.
...is an Eddie Hall signed shirt.
Ooh.
We've got 2 contestants lined up. We're going to ask them both the same questions. Whoever gets the most answers in the quickest time, a little bit like Atlas Stones, but with questions, we'll get the signed shirt. First on the line, Liam Crombie from Reading. Hello, Liam.
Hello, James.
Hello. Hello. What size are you, Liam?
Probably L to XL.
Oh, good. Or to XXXL, hopefully.
Size, but...
Well, yeah, it's going to be a big shirt, but you can use it, you know, to make drapes out of, or whatever. If you win, big strongman fan?
Yeah, huge fan, yeah. Watch it every year.
And what did you make of this year's competition?
I thought it was amazing that Eddie Hall finally brought the title back to Britain after 24 years.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's see if you can take Eddie's shirt back to Reading after an even longer time. OK, so if we got the stopwatch ready to go, And your questions start in 3, 2, 1. Who holds the record of World's Strongest Man titles with 5?
That would be Mariusz Putinowski.
What year did Jeff Capes win his last World's Strongest Man title?
Jeff Capes, mid-80s, 85.
What country is two-time champion Jouko Ahola from?
Can you say Finland?
For the full point on this one, I need both answers to this. At which year did Big Z win his first World's Strongest Man title, and what was the location?
Big Z, his most recent was...
No, the first one.
First one, 2009, and was it Malta?
And finally, which American finished runner-up to John Paul Sigmundsson in 1990?
That would be O.J. Wilson, wouldn't it? The strongest one never to win it.
Liam.
Stop that clock.
Liam, you took 53 seconds and you got 5 out of 5. That's an
no way.
Yeah, you're like brilliant. A machine.
6 out of 6, oh, really, with Malta. Well,
yeah, that's
done.
True.
Bravo.
Fair point, Colin.
Can you name what town it was in, Liam? In Malta.
Oh, I think that would be a bit... far
through
me, to be honest.
Ooh, I can.
Go on.
Oh, Valletta.
There is only one town.
No, there's loads. It's Medina.
All right, San Julian. All right, yeah.
All right. Now, hang on the line, though, Liam, because we're going to see if Andrew Reid can get 5 answers even quicker than that. Oh, Andrew, you there?
Yep, hello.
Brilliant. Hi, Andrew. Thank you for joining us on the World's Strongest Man Review podcast. You a strongman fan?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
All right, you feeling confident?
A bit.
Good.
Ready.
Good. If you're ready, I will ask you 5 questions, one of which is in 2 parts, and I need both answers to it. But let's start with, who holds the record of World's Strongest Man titles with 5?
Mariusz Putinowski.
What year did Jeff Capes win his last World's Strongest Man title?
1985.
What country is two-time champion Jouko Ahola from?
Norway.
For the full point, I need both answers to this point. Which year did Big Z win his first World's Strongest Man title, and what was the location?
It was 2009 in Malta.
And which American finished runner-up to John Paul Sigmundsson in 1990?
That was... O.D. Wilson.
Brilliant. Andrew, your time was an incredibly impressive 47 seconds, which beats Liam Crombie. Unfortunately, though, you said that Jouko Ahola was from Norway. He's actually from Finland. I'm afraid that's the thin for you, Andrew. Awfully sorry, but a really impressive result. It was just your misfortune to come up against the World's Strongest Man mastermind, would you say, Colin?
Very
Liam
impressive,
Crombie,
yeah.
Who... probably should be commentating on next year's, because that's that. There's
but
knowledge.
I'm going to fire myself.
There, so I didn't Liam, know are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm still here.
All right, clear a big space on the wall for an Eddie Hall XXXL shirt. He signed it. I hope it's all polite words, because Eddie uses harsh language.
Or you could reupholster your sofa with it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Fill it with beans. Make a kind of bouncy glass off the kids.
My duvet as well.
Thank you very much to both you, Andrew and Liam. Liam, we'll get your details and send a truck round with that Eddie Hall shirt. And many
thanks
to you both for being part of today's show.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well then, Colin, after a week of competition, the 30 strongmen were whittled down to 10 men. And they had an abnormally long period this time around to prepare for the grand finals, 3 days. Mm. So that, how did that work for them? I mean, psychologically, how did they busy themselves through the days? How did their mood hold out?
Oh, I mean, 3 days to recover from such a brutal set of events in the heat and... You know, one of the things that the heats, in the way they were formatted, was everybody went really hard in the first 5 events. Even the guys who won went really hard. So, 3 days to get over some muscle soreness. you know, is no big deal at all. And you've got to remember, in that period, those guys were also, you know, medical tested again. And then on the third day, they came to familiarization and they were flipping tires, warming up fully, doing a full workout for most people and then some.
Right. Fair enough. So in other words, it wasn't like they were sitting around the camp going stir crazy.
No, I think it actually just brought out some of the best performances in the final.
Well, that's good. Well, maybe we'll have an even more extended break next time. But anyway, you say familiarising themselves with the tyres, which was the first event of the grand final, a half a ton tyre to be flipped up that course. And one man was particularly pumped up here, Brian Shaw.
Yeah, he should be. He was magnificent. He said in the familiarisation the day before, when we go through it with all the top 10 coaching them, and he was adamant that he was not only going to win this, that it was too light.
Really? when he finished, he seemed to look particularly at Hafþór Björnsson and make sure that he'd beaten Björnsson. That's who he seemed to regard as his biggest threat. But of course, it didn't turn out that way. And indeed, in the very next event was the squat. And Eddie produced 15 reps, which is a world record for that bar, and sounded to you and Danny, Colin, like this.
Now there's double figures. This is unbelievable.
Over 30 seconds to go. He's already at 12. Incredible static events. 14.
How far can he go?
Yes! 15 reps for Britain's Eddie Hall. Just one of the greatest. That is actually the highest amount of reps on this bar in history. Look at that. He gave it his all. He kind of went mad.
I think that's a great description, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't the only man going mad over 15 reps, because now we come to the third event, which is the Viking press, where Hafþór was not happy about his 15th. Colin, Hafþór looked very composed, and he produced what he thought was a 15th rep, but that last one wasn't given. He was awarded 14 reps in total. He'd already been warned about not locking out on the Viking press. And on the 15th one, he felt he'd done it. Judges felt he hadn't. He didn't give it. And he was fine with that until Eddie Hall. Before we get your take on this, Colin, let's just hear Thor's Viking press performance.
Didn't quite lock that one out.
Hold.
Getting a warning from the referee for not holding out. Best struggling now. He's had enough.
He's had his warning, Bjornsson. He knows it.
Getting encouragement from Best, but look, if you look, that's... Yeah, he is double-dipping his knees, which is not allowed, and that's enough to Bjornsson. Still, 14 reps.
Yeah, 14 reps, which sounded pretty good until Eddie Hall did 15.
Indeed, yes.
So Eddie won the event. First of all, double-dipping.
Sounds like a party, doesn't it? Double dipping, yes. You want to know what it is?
Uh-huh.
Double dipping is one of those things. It is a somewhat grey area, hence the reason you'll hear warnings from the referees. It really isn't a grey area. You are allowed to bend your legs once, thrust up into the air, and then you must land on stiff legs.
Okay.
And the rest of the pressing will be done with your arms if it's not already all the way up there.
Hmm.
So the double dip is where you start to catch on bent knees to then stand up again. So there's a double movement, as it were. And were you to extrapolate that out to a really big double dip, you would end up doing what's known as a jerk. So you'd split with your legs, drive, and then catch in a full squat position or whatever, and then stand up with it again, a bit like an Olympic lifter.
All right, so Hafþór wasn't given the 15th rep, and he was fine with that until Eddie pulled off 15. And then how quickly was he back at the judges about it?
Well, in defence of Hafþór, he'd made a few murmurings, of course, when he didn't get given the rep, as he was told by the referees. He wasn't getting the rep, which is pretty much par for the course. As for what happened in between, that's not really for me to say, because I wasn't there. What the cameras have shown is what the cameras have shown. What I can tell you is that he realised at the end that one rep would have made a difference and he would have been equal with Eddie Hall. This is assuming Eddie Hall had not done another rep, of course.
Yeah.
So it's all a little bit academic, but sadly it seemed to become a real focus far too early on for Hapthor, I thought.
Right.
Because Hapthor was good enough to win it this past year.
Right.
And maybe he had too much mental energy channeled down that.
Okay, you make just briefly one important point there, which is that had Hapthor done 15, Eddie, to be fair, looked capable of doing 16.
Yes, I mean there was a you don't know how much rest Eddie took, you know, and how much more he could have taken. Of course, he made it trying to smile and look easy at the end.
Mm.
But then again, in another interview, he said, "Whew, that was really hard work, man."
Yeah, well, sure.
So, you know, in fact, a rule was actually brought in not long before that. If you think back to any Viking press beforehand, there has never been a rest allowed in the middle of a Viking press, and it was brought in because Viking press, when it was decided, might I add, it was not decided by any of the refereeing team. It was brought in because it was too much of a favoured event for Eddie Hall. Eddie Hall has never been beaten in Viking press in a normal run, not even close. No one in the world can stick with him. So it was deemed too unfair an advantage.
Hmm.
And actually, it was something I spearheaded, and we allowed them a rest to let the other boys have a chance of coming close to him. So actually, it allowed a situation that in any other Viking press in the world would never have even happened.
Okay. Well, this, as you say, was early on in the finals, but there is that sense that it was the moment that changed things, because Hapthor, you feel, was strong enough to take the title this year after he missed out on first place in the Viking press. Did that get into his head? Is that why, for example, the plane pull, which a lot of people thought he would take easily, he was second to Kieliszkowski with the win? Great win.
Oh, I think Hapthor himself would admit Kieliszkowski was just on fire that day.
Right.
He was outrageously good. And a plane pull is not something they practice very often. And it has its own nuances. And that tiny wee front tire, it was Eddie Hall who had pointed out to us on the day, and when we get more out of him on that one, exactly what went wrong. And that was that little tire was skimming around. And if you didn't say super low and continuously taut with the rope, then it would send you one way or the other. All those, you know, different frictions,
yep,
slows you up.
Absolutely. Yeah, Eddie Hall will be here in a second, actually.
Yeah.
Well, before he gets here, then, well, let's just talk about the event that pretty much sealed it. I mean, the Atlas Stones was the moment it became certain, but the deadlift for Max, is that where Eddie took the title?
Oh, I mean, that was one of the most impressive things I've ever... You think how many events have come before that? You think of what perfect situation Eddie got himself in to do 500 kilograms. Basically did no other events for a year, force-fed himself, had a team of flunkies carry him to the bar virtually to do it. And he managed to do, 25 kilograms off of that? Having flogged himself to death in all these other events in incredible heat. I mean, it was remarkable.
It was an absolutely crucial moment. Eddie Hall, Hapthor Bjornsson battling it out. The deadlift at 472.5 kilos, not far off that half-ton world record. And this is what happened when the two went at it.
Hall has been in this territory before.
Wow.
It's remarkable. You think how many events he's done before this. When he pulled that 500 kilos, that's all he did all year. Built up for that. Here we go. Can the Viking fulfill his destiny that he so much believes in?
Yeah, it really is between these two guys now. 472.5 kilos.
Bjornsson's such a great stone lifter as well. If he can hang with Hall, he'll back himself every single day of the week in the stones.
Up it goes. Or does it? No. And Hall has the deadlift.
Well, well, well.
Has the deadlift that many? You only needed a top four finish in the Stones. You had a couple of other things you wanted to throw in on that deadlift, Colin.
Yeah, no, I mean, on the deadlift, I mean, how about Martin's Lissus putting 440, nearly 460? That's beside the point.
That was his personal best.
Ah!
And as you say, in those unbelievable conditions. But I guess it's part of being at a competition that just, and with the crowd and with the other athletes.
Wild. I mean, but also noticeably notable performances. I mean, Big Brian Shaw tearing his hamstring, battling away. But, you know, if Big Brian hadn't have run out of time in the squat, let's not forget that. That was one of the biggest miscalculations of all time, because who knows how many he could have done. And then, again, Big Brian having some kind of, I think it was a bit of a calf injury, and that plane pull in particular, being so high up off the ground, instead of being low like Kieliszkowski, he was punished so badly for that. Ended up in fifth. I mean, Shaw's never done that before. But he too was right in the mix. You know, and then tears his hamstring a little bit. Eddie Hall actually went out and helped lift him up in the deadlift. And still, how many points was there between the three going into the final event? I mean, it was just a matter of a couple of points.
Yeah.
It was astonishingly close.
Well, yeah. So that just left this as the final event of the 2017 World's Strongest Man, the Stones, Eddie Hall needing four to become Britain's first winner in 24 years.
Here we go. If Eddie Hall gets this stone on that plinth, he is the World's Strongest Man.
Brian Shaw starting to catch, looming in the background. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Eddie.
This is it. Go.
Well, it could come down to his speed on the fourth stone. It's going to come down to the maths, and Shaw goes down. Oh, goodness.
Shaw's down. Come on, Eddie.
Well, he's got under 10 seconds here to put it out of doubt. If he slams this on, you're right, he will be the world's strongest man.
He's done it, and he is Eddie the Beast Hall. Britain's Eddie the Beast Hall is the world's strongest man. The first Brit in 24 years to manage it.
Eddie, it happened. You are world's strongest man.
Feels absolutely amazing. I just want to say that, no, I've never said this before, but I promised my man on a deathbed I would win world's strongest man one day. And I have just done that. I love you, Nan. I love you. I did it. Yes! Yes!
How much has it cost you getting to be number one?
It's cost me my life. It's cost me so much family time. Just so much. And now I can be a husband and a father again. You will not see me at World's Strongest Man again. I'm sorry, but I have conquered my dream. That is all I wanted to do. I want to go and enjoy life now. I want to go and enjoy my kids.
It's quite a moment, that, wasn't it, Colin?
Yeah, I think he blindsided everybody with his comments afterwards, as well as the win.
It's a shame, but entirely understandable, that he's not going to come back and defend that title.
Well, you never know. He might come back as a presenter. Be careful, friends.
And he'd be very welcome. Very welcome. I'm certainly not going to stand in his way. But, I mean, I know he'll continue competing domestically.
Yes, I mean, he's got some goals. He's very much, you know, he loves doing the big arena shows, and he wants to win, I mean, we can ask him later, but it's five British titles in a row. He's already got the record that, you know, he wants to put it right out there so no one will ever touch it. You know, that's Sheffield in January. And then, of course, Europe's Strongest Man, he's never won, April 7th. So him against Hapthorpe could be quite a mean showdown.
Absolutely. Colin, that's enough from you, because we're joined now by, ladies and gentlemen, the world's strongest man. Eddie, thanks for joining us. You must be sick of hearing that title by now, eh?
Not at all. It's something that, you know, I've dreamed about, and to finally achieve it is absolutely amazing for me. So say it all you want.
When did it sink in, what you'd done?
To be honest, it didn't even sink in until I watched it back on TV. It's, you know, it's this last 5-6 months, it's just been waiting for it to air, for me to actually watch it and see what went on, because I was just concentrating on my own thing out there. I wasn't even thinking about the other guys. So I want to see what actually happened and what the other guys did out in the World's Strongest Man.
Right. There was a lot of controversy, certainly from some people, after the title, and he's saying what people did. Hapsel Bjornsson really unhappy with the fact that he didn't get the title and you did. What was your reaction to that?
I was just disappointed, to be honest. You know, we are known for our camaraderie in the sport. You know, we get on, we help each other out, we give each other chalk, we lend each other straps, belts, etc. And when me and Four went head-to-head in Europe's Strongest Man, I was the first man to give him a hug and say well done and congratulate him on camera. That was not reciprocated to myself from Four. And it hurt. You know, it was like he genuinely believed he was hard done to, and he genuinely believed in his own head that that something was corrupt.
Right.
And for me, that was like, wow, he genuinely thinks he should have beat me. And end of the day, the guy got beat fair and square in a strongman contest, and he couldn't take it.
Have you spoken at all since?
No, me and Four have not spoken since, and probably never will.
That's a real shame. You spoke in your book, Strongman, My Story, Eddie Hall, The Beast.
Yeah.
Pick a title out of that. you talk about the fact that when you compete, you always get, pretty much any of these strength events you do, you always get an almighty low afterwards. Did that happen after the title?
Yeah, it did. You know, you win the World's Strongest Man, you're on total euphoria, you are literally on top of the planet, and then you fly home and it's back to normality. It's back to taking your kids to school, it's back to day-to-day life, it's back to training. It's tough. It's tough. I can guarantee every Olympian has the same feels. You know, you're on top of the world, and then you've just got to get back to normality. And end of the day, you are no better than anybody else, and that does hit home when you come home.
Funny you use the term normality, but your life since, I'm guessing, hasn't been particularly normal.
Not at all. Not at all. Life since winning World's Strongest Man has been very chaotic. You know, I did think to myself, I'm going to win the world, sort of retire and live a nice, easy life. And it's been the complete opposite. It has been show, after appearance, after no end of TV and radio interviews. It has just been crazy. And I guess I expected it, to be honest, but it's tough because I just wanted a break, and it's not come yet. It's not come yet, you know?
What was the reaction like in Stoke?
The Stoke fan base was fantastic. Obviously, I'm a very well-known, I'm a very known local celeb, and I had a very warm welcome. You know, I had a sort of a parade through the town. All the newspapers wanted to meet me and talk, and, you know, I had no end of fan mail, people turning up at my gym, people knocking on my house. It was just no end of pats on the back and well done.
Right. Are they going to name a municipal building after you or anything? Because Eddie Hall, it would work quite well.
I doubt that very much. You know, there was talk of getting a statue set up, but you probably not, and probably never, you know.
Okay. We're just going back to the finals then in Botswana, because the previous year was amazing. Despair at the start with the dislocated fingers, and it seemed like everything you'd worked for had suddenly vanished. And then you still managed to drag it back, and the pain in the grand finals. But you got a place on the podium for the first time. This year, what was the moment that you knew you'd done it?
The start to the final wasn't the best. You know, I think I came fifth in the first event. And that was a really worrying time for me, because I expected to come top three on the tyre flip, and it just didn't happen. I suppose what secured it for me, and I think it was on the plane pull, Brian Shaw just totally got it wrong. He just too upright, didn't get his body weight into the pull, and I think he ended up coming fifth on the plane pull, which put me 2.5 points in the lead over everybody else, and that was the moment I knew I'd won it, because there was the deadlift and the stones to go. I knew I'd win the deadlift, and I know I'm a fantastic stone lifter. And looking back, you know, I came fourth on the stones, but looking back, had I had to, I think I would have won the stones. I was the fastest four stones. Tumbled on the fifth, but, you know, I wasn't really concentrating. I'd done fast four, and I just thought, hey, you know, do I need to do the fifth one? I was looking to the referees, nobody knew the answer, and I was like, do I need to do it, don't I? And then somebody shouted, you got 5 seconds to go. So I put the last stone up just to cement it. I had to do it.
So let me chip in here, Ed, because the plane pull was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Obviously, it arrived about an hour late, and then there was only we only had it for about an hour before it was going to fly off again. So it was very quickly latched on, and guys went. But Kieliszkowski was the winner in the end. You had the sort of honour of going quite late on from the previous event. Did you do something different than you normally did? And what do you think, why did the massive pullers not do so well?
Well, it was actually a great advantage going last. I noticed with the guys that were going really slow, it was on the front wheel was on a pivot. It was on like a very long bar. And I noticed if the bar was swaying left and right, i.e. they were too slack or they were moving too much with the pulling. I noticed this bar was swaying left and right and creating massive drag on the front wheel. And I noticed, and then when I saw Kieliszkowski go, who won it, he was so low to the ground, he was arrow straight. And that bar did not move an inch. That front wheel stayed straight. No resistance, and that's why he won it. So going out last, it was like, right, I know what I've got to do. Don't sway, keep your hips in line, keep in a straight line, keep as low to the ground as you can, and you'll do well. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. It's a bit like a Reliant Robin, isn't it? It's only got one wheel at the front. It's so easy to send that off on the wrong line.
Quite different
line.
To a Reliant Robin just in many ways. But as you mentioned, it was an actual commercial jet that then, well, a commercial prop plane that then had to take off because the passengers were waiting.
Mm. Yeah.
Hilarious. Eddie, really emotional scenes. I mean, it always is at the end, but particularly so this year when you got the title.
Yeah. It was tough. You know, I made a promise to my nan to win the World's Strongest Man, and it was just something that I promised him when I was 19 years old, 10 right. years ago, and it's just
That's
always
a big
been
promise to make.
Yeah, it is, and it's a big promise to make, and it was something that was always in the back of my mind for 10 years, and I didn't want to let it down.
Right.
So that was a nice thing for me to do on my my behalf, and I had to do it.
But it's not just about her, I guess. It's also about the sacrifices you've made to the people in your family now.
Yeah, that as well. 10 years of hell. A family have all suffered, also, especially my wife, my kids. You know, I'd see my wife and kids for an hour a week, some weeks, and then other weeks wouldn't see them at all. So. It was one big, massive sacrifice. You know, I'd ruin Christmases, I'd ruin birthdays. I wouldn't be able to go to my nephews or nieces' christenings, birthday parties. It just sacrificed so much. And it was just so nice when I won the title that the whole family lifted, not just myself. The whole family had a massive weight off the shoulders, everybody, because it was such a scary time for me. I was such a huge body weight. I was having some really dark moments in the lead up to Worlds.
Because physically, that represents a danger to your health.
Yeah. I had some scary moments before the Worlds, and, having all my blood tests, my kidney markers, liver markers were through the roof. I had one or two heart scares. And, it was the point where it was the good old saying, I'm either going to win World's Strongest Man or die trying. And five, six weeks before the World's Strongest Man, I thought I was going to die. And doctors are like, you should stop. You shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And I always said, yeah, I'm going to win it or die, or a doctor told me to stop. And the fact is, a doctor did tell me to stop many times in the years coming up. But I had 5 weeks. I had 5 weeks to achieve my dream. And it was, to me, it was worth the risk.
Can I just chip in here, Eddie? Because obviously you phoned me up 6 weeks before Worlds, having had a knockback for it. The doctors are very, very thorough, and Eddie had a strange reading.
Mm.
And I went up and held his hand and took him to a cardiologist because, he was very down and he'd been told he wasn't going to go. But the cardiologist was the one person who could do a full, and she did. She did a big, for an hour, looked at his chest, looked at his heart, looked at everything. But wouldn't give you the results there and then, which was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Just kept making comments like, it's big. Wow. Mm. And it wasn't very nice. But luckily, the results came back that it was just exceptionally efficient. Mm. And a big man has a very big heart. And it was perfect, in perfect working order. So it was, I think, actually, let me not put words in your mouth, but I think when you were at your heaviest, you were almost having self-fulfilling panic attacks because you were so big. And actually, that was probably the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah, it was. You know, you get, you know, you'd be driving your car to wherever, you get a little chest pain, and you think, oh, God, this is it. You know, and that was every day of my life.
I got one this morning.
Every single day of my life, I thought I was going to die. You know, I'd get a twitch in my arm, and I'd think I was having a stroke. And I don't know if this was playing parts of depression and anxiety, but because I was 31 and a half stone, I was the biggest man in the country by a mile.
Hmm.
And statistically, I'm the most at risk to have a heart attack, stroke, etc. And it was just such a worrying time. When I was having my blood results from my blood nutritionist, my liver and kidney markers were through the roof.
Yeah.
My hemoglobin was through the roof. My blood was like sludge. And he was basically saying, Ed, you are this close to having a heart attack and a stroke. You need to be careful.
When I read what you're eating that really sends the red lights blinking, lard, massive fry-ups all the time.
Yeah.
All this kind of, how are you feeling now, Eddie?
I'm feeling a lot better.
The indicators are better?
Yeah, 1,000% better, yeah.
So you announced pretty much as soon as you got the title, that's it. No more World's Strongest Man for me. You're going to continue competing domestically, is that right?
Yeah, I want to, you know, I've got some goals I want to set. I want to win the Britain's Strongest Man another couple of years. I want to win Europe's Strongest Man, a title I've never won, ridiculously. Mm. So there's some things I want to do.
But what's the next big, because you're a man who has a target and drives towards it and look out everybody else. What's the next big thing? What's the next photo on your dashboard?
In all honesty, a big, big, big dollar sign. You know, I've chased a dream. I've chased a dream for so long in the hope that it brings me just ease off everything. You know, it cures all my problems. It was the way out of working a 9-to-5 till I'm 65.
Right.
And I've done that now, and now I've got to be very careful and sensible about what I do with it. I've got to capitalize on the title. I've done the damage to my body. I've done 10 years of beating myself up. I've taken decades off my life. Mm. Let's be honest. I've taken decades. Now it's up to me to make the most of the years I've got left and make sure my family are set up, most importantly. I want to make sure my wife and kids are...
Hey, can I just interject? Strongman is safe, children, for anyone who has children taking part in the sport. You don't have to go to 32 stone. It's not always necessary.
No, but I did this to be the best, and I made massive sacrifices.
Right.
The biggest sacrifices was my health.
Right.
And I've got to claw that back now.
You've really put me off taking up Strongman, Eddie, I have to say. When you came back to Stoke the first time and saw your mum and dad, when you saw your family...
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I suppose very emotional, very... Just everybody just had a weight off the shoulders. Even my friends, you could tell the difference in everyone around me because I was so much less stressed, so much less... You know, I had a massive weight off my shoulders. It's something that I was willing to die for to achieve. And I suppose, especially all my close friends and family, they were so worried for me. I think a few of them thought I was going to die trying to win the World's Strongest Man. And the feels were just relief, absolute relief in every aspect.
Hmm.
You know, because I can relax now, I can drop a bit of weight, I can enjoy my life, I can spend a bit of time with my wife and kids, I can go out for meals, I'm going out of a drink. I didn't do any of that before. I came back from World's Strongest Man.
Well, you kind of did, but much before.
Yeah, yeah. I came back from World's Strongest Man. I had my first holiday in 7 years.
Where'd you go?
I went to Mauritius with the wife, our honeymoon. I got married 5 years ago and I never had a honeymoon. But that's how dedicated I was. You know, I didn't have a week off because a week off took me 4 weeks to catch up, and that which meant Thor and Brian were getting ahead of me, and I couldn't afford that.
One question pops up, but I'm not sure if it's kind of almost nosy. Say, what would you think if Maximus, your son, wanted to become a strongman? Would you be happy? Or would you tell him...
If my son wanted to get into strongman and set his goals on to being the world's strongest, I would support it. And because I've done it all, I've experienced it all, I've made the mistakes, and I didn't have the backing.
Right.
I didn't have the money. I didn't have all that team around me. And if my son wanted to get into that, he'd have everything. He'd have all the experience, all the knowledge, and I'd make sure he'd have all the backing. So that, you know, I won it when I was 29. Who's to say he couldn't win it when he was 21? You never know.
And would you allow him in your home-built hyperbaric chamber?
I would.
Do you know about this, James?
Mm. I read about it in the book. How do you build a hyperbaric chamber? Just for anyone who's thinking
it
safely.
It was very tough. I actually went to just a local engineer and I said, I need a cylinder that's airtight. So he basically just walked a great big piece of metal into a cylinder, put a bottom on it, put a top on it, put a door on it, put rubber seals, got a medical compressor, and got a ton load of oxygen machines and just got them all hooked up.
And you were spending about an hour and a half in there a day?
An hour and a half every single day of my life for a year. Just staring at a ceiling.
All this, I mentioned the book, Eddie Hall, My Story, The Beast, Strongman. Is it going to be another one?
I think there is.
All right. There's also going to be a kids' book as well.
Hopefully. You know, we're all talking kids' books for next year. The Beast, the superhero. But there's a lot to look forward to, for sure.
But with a bad edge.
With a bad edge, yeah.
Excellent. Eddie, listen, thank you so much for being with us today, and congratulations again. It was last year you gave us a story. This was something even beyond that, and I can't wait to see what you come up with next.
No, thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
Not at all. Eddie Hall. Eddie Hall, and as we mentioned, his book, absolutely terrific read, Strongman, My Story, Eddie Hall, The Beast. It's out now, Colin.
And it's magnificent.
And for you, I'm sure it was good. For me particularly, I've not done the strongman route myself. It's eye-opening. Particularly the bit where his eye pops out. There's some quite strong stuff in there.
Yeah.
But it's a terrific... I mean, he's such a great talker. He's a fascinating guy, and it's a very interesting book.
He never ceases to surprise, Eddie. He's not one-dimensional, is he?
I'll say not. All right, so that was terrific. How are we going to make 2018 even better, Colin?
If I told you anything about World's Strongest Man, I'd have to kill myself.
Oh.
But, I mean...
It's almost a price worth paying.
But, I mean, it's going to be a great run of Giants Lives up to it.
Absolutely.
Sheffield Arena.
All right, well, let's hear those dates again.
First Direct Arena. So, January 27th, to see the Beast go for his fifth Britain's Strongest Man title. That's it in Sheffield. And then, of course, First Direct Arena, which is going to be a sellout last year, a sellout this year, hopefully again.
Okay.
What
date's that?
Despite all of the different bits of chat about Hapthor and Eddie falling out, well, they're going to be meeting again April 7th.
Can you confirm that?
I can confirm.
That's huge.
That is very big, yes. So good on you, Hapthor.
Yeah,
we very much look forward to seeing you. Come back to defend your title, bravo. And, sometimes the big men have to just let things go bridge. And, we're all kiss and make up.
Good. That couldn't be a happier bit of news for 2018.
Yeah.
In which case, who do you think is going to win the 2018 World's Strongest Man, Colin Bryce?
Well, to be honest, I've been training again. And
But who do you think is going to win the 2018 World's Strongest Man, Colin?
It all depends, really. I think if Hapthor is there and on form, I really can't see past him. Assuming he really does feel, as good as he did this year, and he learns maybe the lessons of don't get too stressed about things, because he was good enough to win it this year again. He's been good enough to win it 3 years at least. Maybe BC though.
But there's something else there. Yeah, there has been something else. Is this going to be his year? Where does the biggest threat come from? Do you genuinely think Zeke could be in the running for the fifth title?
Oh, goodness me, yeah. Zdrunas just shocked me in Manchester. I really thought he was talking a good game. I thought he was deluded, actually, earlier in the year when I spoke to him. And I apologise, Zeke, because you were magnificent in Manchester. And, he has to box a bit more clever about how he trains. By goodness, he was strong.
And of the outsiders, or the people we've not seen climb to the top of the podium before, a name from them to keep an eye on?
Well, I mean, it's a bit cheeky, but I mean, Lissus hasn't been on the podium. He was fourth.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think he's dynamite, but watch out for a guy called Iron Bibby from that hotbed of strength, Burkina Faso. He is so magnificently talented, more talented than any other man I've ever met.
off just a few competitions. He is special.
All right. If he reaches the World's Strongest Man finals, which he'll have to do via the Giants Live qualifiers, which, of course, you can see at the back end of 2018. I hope you enjoyed this year's series on Channel 5, or if you're watching in the States on CBS Sports Network. Certainly you can relive it all via, in the UK anyway, on Channel 5's media player called My 5. Or you can listen to this podcast as often as you like, Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get in touch with us. TheWorldStrongestMan.com is the website. The World's Strongest Man Facebook page is always there for you. On Twitter, it's @WorldStrongest, and Instagram is @TheWorldStrongestMan.
And
Giants-Live.com
for all of your ticketing news. I mean, right. General news.
It's coming up fast, isn't it? January the...
Hawk tickets. January 27th.
All right.
Britain's Strongest Man.
Colin, it's been a delight being with you again.
Thank you very much. You too.
All right. And you too, listeners. Hope to be back with you soon. In the meantime, let's hope your 2018 is a strong 2018.
Bye.